Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari, Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari, Gopi Jana Gopi Jana Malabha Giri Vanadhari Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tirabhanachari Yamuna Tira Manachari Jayuradamad Ava Kunjabihari Jayurad Amadava Kunjabihari Gopijana Malabha Giri Gopi Jana Malabha Giri Vardhati Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamunatira Banachari Yamunatira Balachari Jai Radha Madhuva Kunjabihari Jai Radha Madhuva Kunjabihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidikacharya also tell us that the Shimad, His Divine Grace, Abhayachananda Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem Se Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Gijaya Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopikavata Sayam Kun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Gijaya Vrindavanam Gijaya Maturam Gijaya Jagadavasami Gijaya Yamunamai Gijaya Shimali Lasi Devi Gijaya Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Gijaya Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So Omagana Timidanda Shaganjana Shlakya Chakshurun Midam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, it's good to see everybody. Oh, Hare Krishna Veda, good to see you. Hare Krishna. Good to see you. And Madhava and everybody, it's nice. It's nice we all get together. Okay, so let's go on to the Bhagavad Gita in the third chapter and share our screen to the Veda base. Here we are, third chapter, text 12. And let me just maximize this so I don't see everybody at the same time. So, text 12. Ishtan bhogan hivodeva tashante yagyabhavataha taradatanna prabhadayai vyo Yo bhungte stena eva saha. Ishtan desired bhogan necessities of life, he certainly bought unto you, Deva. The demigods dasyante will award yajna bhavata, being satisfied by the performance of sacrifices, tai, by them, tatan, things given, apradaya, without avyaha. To these demigods, yaha, he who bhungte enjoys stenaha, thief, eva, certainly, saha, he. So translation, in charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods being satisfied by the performance of yajna sacrifice, will supply all necessities to you. But he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. So I think we've described before what demigods are. They're just like assistants to Krishna. Like if you have, of course, I don't want to use the example of the President of the United States anymore for obvious reasons. But let's say you have the Prime Minister of the UK. Or even better, the Prime Minister of India, Modi, who's quite good. So he has so many assistants who do so many things for him. And if you act properly and satisfy the Prime Minister of India, the assistants will help you in different ways. And that's really what's being talked about here. Of course, some people, they try to serve the assistants separately. In India, that's called, or everywhere, it's called bribery. And that is not recommended. In other words, worshipping demigods is not recommended. Krishna in the Gita says, avidhi purvakam. It is not the vidhi, it's not the proper process. And especially in America, you don't bribe government officials. And in India, you can't do it now either, because there's actually many measures put into place to prevent this sort of corruption. So we should live honestly. And sometimes, in certain corrupt countries, if you bribe the government officials, you'll get what you want. But really, that's not recommended. People should act honestly. So, these demigods are authorized supplying agents on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu. Therefore, they must be satisfied by the performance of prescribed yajnas. In the Vedas, there are different kinds of yajnas. We described yesterday what yajnas were. Sacrifices prescribed for different kinds of demigods, but all are ultimately offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For one who cannot understand what the Personality of Godhead is, sacrifice of the demigods is recommended. In other words, if you're in ignorance and you can't figure things out, you know, at least accept someone superior to you. Just like in many ancient cultures, they would worship the sun or the moon and different, that's like demigods. It's a fact. It's the same conception. And it's a step up to accept that there is someone superior who is in charge, has more power than you. And in addition, in the Vedic culture, you're sort of tricked into chanting Krishna's name in the form of Om. All the Vedic mantras, even for worshiping the demigods, begin with Om. Om is a very interesting word. It is non-different from Hare Krishna. It is basically Radha and Krishna and the living entity. Pretty good. A-U-M. Om. But we don't chant it on our beads, but we have many mantras. Yes, we chant many mantras that have the word Om. Even the pranam mantra to Srila Prabhupada. Nama, Om, Vishnupadaya, Krishna Prasthaya, Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami, Iti Namani. So Om Gana, just like when I started this class. Om Gana Timidanda Shah, Gananjana Shalakaya, Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we use the word Om quite often. Because Om is non-different from Krishna. In fact, Krishna in the Gita says, what? Pranava sarva vedeshu. Pranava means Om. Krishna says, I am the Om mantra in the Vedic literatures. So people are tricked into chanting Om no matter what else they do in the Vedic literatures. Worship of different demigods is also on the same basis, namely according to different qualities. For example, the meat eaters are recommended to worship the goddess Kali, the ghastly form of material nature, and before the goddess, the sacrifice of animals is recommended. No. So what does that mean? Yes, here's the story. That if someone wants to or is attached to eating meat, and they don't worry about becoming a goat in the next life. I mean, if it doesn't bother you, go ahead. You can become a goat. Goats in India have nice little beards on them too. So those of you who are men who like beards can become a goat. So anyway, so there's this sacrifice recommended in the Vedas. If you want to eat a goat, then once a month, on the full moon night, full moon, that's when all the ghosts come out or something. So on the full moon night, you, at a specific time, you say certain mantras to a sacrifice, and you kill the goat, whispering in the goat's ear, Mamsa Kadati, which means that I will be killed. Mamsa kadati means I will be killed. Actually, the word for meat is basically killing me in Sanskrit. Me killing, or me will be killed. That's another way to understand it. So in other words, next life, you'll be a goat. And you will have to undergo the same sort of punishment. And because of that, it discourages a lot of people. So there are ways that one could do it, but for those in the mode of goodness, the transcendental worship of Vishnu is recommended. Let me give an example. The government, not America, forget about America right now, which I pretty much like to, but the government in America, government in general should try to help people by encouraging people not to drink, encouraging people not to smoke. Okay, the government understands, or the good leaders of a government, are there any in America? Let me think about that for a second. But anyway, not supposed to make political statements. So good government, or people in charge of a good government, would understand that people are not going to follow if you impose too many restrictions. Just like in the 1920s, there was this thing called Prohibition. What happened is they made sale of liquor and the consumption of liquor illegal. So you couldn't go to the nice liquor stores and get cheated out of your money. So what they discovered is that people started to make their own liquor in their houses. There's a fancy thing called bathtub gin. In other words, they had a still, they were able to distill alcohol. Sometimes they distilled the wrong type of alcohol and people went blind. And people were drinking anyway. So the government decided, let's regulate it at least. You know, people are going to drink, people are going to smoke, even though it's bad for them. Let's regulate it. So there's rules and regulations. You have to be a certain age to buy liquor, because that's not much regulation. And you have to go to the ABC store. Sounds like innocent. Oh, can I go to an ABC store? Oh, you want to teach your children how to read, right? Oh, no. ABC refers to Alcoholic Beverage Control Store. It's like we just had one in Hillsboro. That's, I think it's the largest store other than Walmart in Hillsboro, the town of Hillsboro. A new store, and some drunk man drove into it and got some free liquor. So anyway, so the government regulates it because it's understanding people are going to do it anyway. So there's people who are going to eat meat anyway. So the Vedas, or Krishna understands, that people have to have some way of regulating it or understanding what they're doing is wrong. Just like when you smoke cigarettes or you buy a package of cigarettes, there's a warning. Cigarette smoking is dangerous to your health. And in some countries, they actually even put a picture of cancer or the different types of cancer on the cigarette package. to the, you know, there's some attempt to regulate it, understanding that people are going to smoke anyway, people are going to take intoxication anyway. You cannot absolutely prohibit it. So the Vedas have that particular type of concession. But they're not, it's not meant for us. Different, as they say often, different shlokas for different folks. Shlok means different verses in Vedic literatures. So there's different things that apply for different people. If you want to go back to the spiritual world and get Krishna consciousness and be happy eternally, don't start killing a goat once a month. So for ordinary man, at least 5 yajnas known as Panchamaha Yajna are necessary. Don't worry about it. Not for us. One should know, however, that all the necessities of life that the human society requires are supplied by the demigod agents of the Lord. No one can manufacture anything. Take, for example, all the eatables of human society. These eatables include grains, fruits, vegetables, milk, sugar, etc. for the persons of the mode of goodness, and also eatables for the non-vegetarians, like meats, none of which can be manufactured by men. Then again, take, for example, heat, light, water, air, etc., which are also necessities of life. None of them can be manufactured by the human society. Without the Supreme Lord, there can be no profuse sunlight, moonlight, rainfall, breeze, etc., without which no one can live. Obviously, our life is dependent on supplies from the Lord. Even for our manufacturing enterprises, we require so many raw materials like metal, sulfur, mercury, manganese, and so many essentials, all of which are supplied by the agents of the Lord with the purpose that we should make proper use of them to keep ourselves fit and healthy for the purpose of self-realization, leading to the ultimate goal of life, namely liberation from the material struggle for existence. This aim of life is attained by performance of yajnas. We described yesterday that's what is meant by Sankirtan Yajna. That's all we have to do. Sankirtan Yajna, the chanting. Don't worry about these other yajnas. Don't worry about the demigods. You know, they'll take care of themselves if you satisfy Krishna. If you satisfy Krishna, they'll have to behave themselves. I mean, there's that story in Krishna Leela. How one demigod, named was Indra, wasn't satisfied by people because they weren't offering to him what he thought was his due. And he tried to kill people, and Krishna protected them by lifting a whole hill, Govardhan Hill. And there's many other stories like that, too. If we forget the purpose of human life and simply take supplies from the agents of the Lord for sense gratification and become more and more entangled in material existence, which is not the purpose of creation, certainly we become thieves, and therefore we are punished by the laws of material nature. A society of thieves can never be happy because they have no aim in life. The gross materialist thieves have no ultimate goal of life. They are simply directed to sense gratification, nor do they have knowledge of how to perform yajnas. And here's the information. Lord Chaitanya, however, inaugurated the easiest performance of yajna, namely Sankirtan Yajna, which can be performed by anyone in the world who accepts the principles of Krishna consciousness. Sankirtan means chanting with a lot of people, or really concentrated, intense chanting that one is doing for themselves. That's Sankirtan, out loud, out loud. Now, there's another type of chanting which is called japa. Japa is more soft. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram, Ram, Hari, Hari. And that is also a yajna. And the more you chant, the better it gets. It's a song that you never get tired of. It remains in the top 10, not only the top 10, the top 1, eternally. You can chant Hare Krishna eternally, and you'll never get tired. I've been chanting Hare Krishna for God knows how many years, 50 years, actually more than 50 years. And it gets better all the time. I mean, the other day I chanted 67 rounds. And one of my disciples, a little boy, he chanted 80 rounds. Not little, he's a teenager. He chanted 80 rounds. And he felt completely ecstatic. He was just like rolling on the ground in ecstasy. He was crying, wow, this is ecstatic. And of course, this comes from many, many lives of practice, obviously. He was a devotee in his last life. probably an advanced devotee. And now I'm fortunate to have him as a disciple. So, next text. Yadna shishtas jina shanto muchante sarakil bishahai munjate te tvagdam papa ye pachantyat makaranat. Yadna shishta, a food taken after performance of yadna, ashinaha, eaters, santaha, the devotees, muchante, get relief, sarva, all kinds of kilbishahai, from sins, bunjate, enjoy, te, they. Two but agam, grievous sins, pava, sinners, yehu, sinners, lament, repent, yehu, pachanti, prepare food, atma karanat, for sense enjoyment. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. So here sin means you get a bad reaction because you've actually taken a life, including vegetarian food, which is quite interesting. Sometimes people make this argument that you, Hare Krishnas, are eating vegetables and you are killing the vegetables. So we're killing animals. If you say all these different entities are living entities, are conscious, are souls within the body, you know, there's a soul within the broccoli, broccoli Prabhu. So anyway, so all these living entities have a soul within them. So aren't you committing sin by eating broccoli? And it's an interesting question, and one that you can answer in various ways. One is, of course, the best way to answer it is no, because we're offering the broccoli to Krishna. If you're doing things like eating broccoli without offering to Krishna, there's a reaction to it because you're taking a life. Poor broccoli. Of course, the reaction is a lot less than killing an animal because the broccoli doesn't suffer so much. Broccoli does not have a developed nervous system, and it's actually the allotted food for human beings. But still, there is a little bit of a reaction for eating even vegetarian food that's not offered to Krishna. So when you offer to Krishna, he appreciates that. He doesn't need it. When you make an offering to Krishna, it's not Krishna's thinking for you. Hope this guy or girl offers something to me. I'm really hungry. I mean, phew. Hope he offers something good. Well, actually, Krishna has unlimited cooks in the spiritual world. And Krishna, he's independent, and he can get anything from a desire cow that he wants. So, but what he really wants is your love. That's why Krishna says, and we'll read this verse later on in the Gita, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachati. That one should offer to Krishna with love and devotion. And by recognizing, see, the offering is like a recognition that this food belongs to Krishna and Krishna is so kind to give it. Something like grace, if any of you are Christians or were Christians, that you say grace. You know, we thank God for this. And that's a form of offering to God. And Prabhupada would sometimes give the example of a young boy or girl who would be sitting at a dinner table with their father, and their father would be the supplying agent for all the food anyway, so he doesn't need any more. But the little child would take something from his plate and say, "Dad, I want you to have this, please. This is for you." And the father would just say, "Wow, this is so sweet. My child is thinking of me and giving me something like this." Krishna's the same way. So it's important to offer our food before we eat it. And then it becomes sanctified prasadam and attains a different quality. And by eating it, you're making spiritual advancement. Anyone who eats prasadam, even if they don't know it's prasadam, they make spiritual advancement. That's amazing. That's like our hidden weapon. We give someone prasadam. And prasadam doesn't have to be a specific recipe from the Vedic literatures or anything like that. It can be Western style, you can make Italian prasadam, Chinese prasadam, Japanese prasadam, American prasadam, as long as there's no meat, fish, or eggs in it, and you offer it to Krishna with love and devotion, it'll have the same effect. Like Srila Prabhupada, he really loved cookies, which are a Western dish, because in India traditionally there were not any ovens. They would either fry or cook on a fire with a pan, but there were no ovens. So Prabhupada really liked cookies. In fact, I was with Prabhupada one time, went with Prabhupada on a preaching engagement, and I brought a whole big plate of cookies, sugar cookies, sugar butter cookies, which I don't take nowadays. So I brought it with me to give out to the people we were preaching with. So I went with Prabhupada to Fort Worth, Texas. I was with Prabhupada in Dallas, and then we went, myself, another devotee in the car with Prabhupada to Fort Worth. So I had forgotten to bring the cookies into the preaching program to give to the people we were talking to. It was actually a television show. And I was embarrassed. On the way back, I said to Prabhupada, basically, excuse me, I forgot to give the cookies out. And Prabhupada said, can I have one? I took one, and he took another, and another, and another. He probably ate about 20 cookies. So Prabhupada actually loved prasadam, and he ate those cookies with great relish, understanding they were been offered to Krishna. So it says that Krishna is in the prasadam. Krishna is the prasadam. Prasadam means mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I remember the first time I was taking prasadam, first few months I was taking prasadam at the center we had in Gainesville, Florida. I basically couldn't stop. It was so delicious. And it was just regular ingredients that I had known about before. But because it was offered to Krishna, it had that very special taste to it, the spiritual taste. I mean, sometimes people say, what did you put into this thing? They think we just slip some psychedelics in it or something. No. Just love and devotion, just regular stuff, just whatever. Vegetables that are available in Walmart or wherever else you shop, and you offer it to Krishna. And it was delicious. I just remember it was just so nice. And even nowadays, when I eat or honor prasadam, I offer to Krishna, either on the altar here at Radha Lokananda or to my own deity as Govardhan Shila. It's just very relishable and satisfying. Very wonderful. Okay. So, purport. Devotees of the Supreme Lord or persons who are in Krishna consciousness are called santas, and they are always in love with the Lord, as it is described in the Brahma Samhita. Santa means they're peaceful. Their minds are not agitated. So here's a verse from the Brahma Samhita, which was spoken by Lord Brahma when he saw Krishna face to face. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santakshadaiva vyeshu vilokayanti. So it says the devotees, their eyes, this is a very poetic statement, their eyes are tinged with the salve, means like an ointment, of love of God. And therefore, the saliva, they can always see Krishna within their heart of hearts. So this is what it means to be a devotee. You always see Krishna, you're always in love and always communicate. The santas being always in a compact of love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda of all pleasures, or Mukunda, the giver of liberation. Mukunda also means he who has a beautiful face like a lotus flower. Or Krishna, the all-attractive person. They're all different names of the same person. And Krishna has unlimited names, and his potency is in all of his transcendental names. He's just invested all of his potency. Govinda means it gives pleasure to the senses or gives pleasure to the cows. Mukunda means basically the giver of mukti or liberation, or I prefer the one with the beautiful face. And Krishna means one who attracts everyone and gives you ananda. Krishna, ananda, like that. Who gives you unlimited bliss and na, negates the material miseries. That's been my experience. The material miseries just disappear when you chant Krishna's name. It's the panacea. Panacea for all the material misery is just Krishna, Krishna, Govinda, Mukunda, Madhava, Yadava, Hari. So, cannot accept anything without first offering to the Supreme Person. Therefore, such devotees always perform yajnas in different modes of devotional service, such as Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Archanam. So, what that means, those words mean, and that's a quote from Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto, 5th chapter, text 23 of Bhagavatam, means you're offering sacrifice to Krishna by hearing about Krishna or hearing his names, describing Krishna, chanting his holy names, etc. Smaranam, remembering Krishna, doing worship of Krishna. I mean, there's 9 different methods. Offering prayers to Krishna, becoming the friend of Krishna, surrendering everything to Krishna, serving the lotus feet of Krishna. So these are the 9 processes. And these performance of yajnas keep them always aloof from all kinds of contamination of sinful association of the material world. So what I experience is if I'm always thinking of Krishna, nothing could affect me. It's like an old advertisement that probably none of you have seen that used to be on TV. It's an advertisement for a particular type of toothpaste. Now, in this advertisement, they brush this giant tooth with this toothpaste. I'm not going to tell you what type of toothpaste it is because it's not an advertisement. We don't have product placement in my classes. So they brush this tooth, giant tooth, with this toothpaste, and it makes an invisible shield around the tooth. And someone throws something at the tooth, and it, boom, bounces off. So when one has good sadhana, then whatever you come across in this world, it just bounces off. You're not affected by it, especially by lamentation, hankering, other people's, like, energies. I mean, it's a real big thing. You know, people just, like, lay a trip on you. Sorry about that expression. People just, you know, give you their energies like that. You just remain aloof, you know. Hare Krishna, I'm so happy. The world's falling apart. Hare Krishna. You know, sometimes you run into people who are just like negativity personified. Is always complaining. Like that. Nobody loves me. Everything goes bad. And they just like can bring you down. But once you have Krishna, it's just like, all right. I have Krishna. I've achieved success already. If anything else happens in the meantime, I mean, we tried our best, but, you know, I've achieved success. Others who prepare food for sense gratification are not only thieves, but also the eaters of all kinds of sins. That means they get bad karmic reaction. That's all. It's not like, you know, this word sin has a heavy connotation to it. You're a sinner. We're sinners. How can a person be happy if he's both a thief and sinful? It's not possible. Therefore, in order for people to become happy in all respects, they must be taught to perform the easy process of Sankirtan Yajna, chanting. Don't worry, be happy in full Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there can be no peace or happiness in the world. So Prabhupada keeps repeating the same thing. Just chant. You don't have to change anything. Just chant. You don't have to learn all this Sanskrit that I'm reciting, memorize things. If you want to, that's nice. But you don't have to. All you have to do is chant and be absorbed in the transcendental sound vibration. Ekon Dharma. Ekon means one. There's one Dharma in this Kali Yuga, which is Krishna Nama Sankirtan, which is the chanting of Krishna's name. Everything else is secondary. Everything else, the way you dress, your hairstyle, probably shouldn't go to a hairdresser right now because you might get the virus, but your hairstyle and, you know, even this tilak, which I'm wearing, everything else is secondary. just chant, be absorbed in chant. And that's what Prabhupada did when he came to America. He didn't ask the devotees to do anything. I mean, be vegetarians, of course. But he simply went to this place in New York called Tompkins Square Park, and he chanted. And it changed the lives of everybody. He didn't tell anybody, you know, basically what to do. He had classes, but he didn't impose that on people in the beginning. People didn't know who Prabhupada was in the beginning. And I remember the first time I heard Prabhupada on the radio chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Changed my life completely. Even though I didn't know, had not come in contact with him or had not read his books at that particular point. Just hearing his chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra, my life just became perfect. Of course, from a material estimation, you know, I sort of lost taste in things that weren't conducive to spiritual life. But from a spiritual point of view, my life became successful, and I'm just so happy I did it. So here's another verse here. Anadbhavanti bhutani parjanyadana sambhavaha yagyat bhavati parjanyo yagya karma samudbhavaha. Anat, from grains, bhavanti, grow, bhutani, the material bodies, parjanyat, from rains, ana, food, grains, sambhavaha, production, yagnat, from the performance of sacrifice, bhavati, becomes possible, parjanyaha, rain, yagna, performance of yagna, karma, prescribed duties, samudbhavaha. All living bodies subsist on food grains. Even the people who eat meat, they're subsisting on food grains, except they're eating the food grains indirectly. That is, the food grains are eaten by the animals, and then they eat the animals. Rains are produced by the performance of yajna, sacrifice, and yajna is born of prescribed duties. So when people don't do this sankirtan yajna, then what happens, you either get too much rain or too little rain, disturbances in the weather, all sorts of, you know, hurricanes, tornadoes, rain, sleet, snow, symptoms of Kali Yuga. So, then our prescribed duty is to chant the Lord's holy names. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushana, a great commentator on the Bhagavad Gita, writes as follows, and here's some Sanskrit for you. Ye indriyangata yavastitam yajnam sarveshvaram vishnu avyarcha tatshesham ashnanti tena tadehai atram sampadayanti te santa sarve sarveshvarasha yagyapurushasha bhakta sarvargip akil bishar Anadi kala vivridar atpan upava prati vandakar nikilai papir vimuchate. The Supreme Lord, who is known as the Yajna Purusha, that means the person who yajna is done for, or the personal beneficiary, which is probably translates saying the same thing, of a sacrifice, is the master of all the demigods who serve him, as the different limbs of the body serve the whole, like the cabinet members of a president or a prime minister. Demigods like Indra, Chandra, and Varuna are appointed officers who manage material affairs, and the Vedas direct sacrifice to satisfy these demigods so they may be pleased to supply air, light, water, sufficiently to produce food grains. When Lord Krishna is worshipped, the demigods who are different limbs of the Lord are also automatically worshipped. Therefore, there's no separate need to worship the demigods. For this reason, the devotees of the Lord who are in Krishna consciousness offer food to Krishna and then eat, a process which nourishes the body spiritually. By such action, not only are past sinful reactions in the body vanquished, but the body becomes immunized from the virus to all contamination of material nature. When there is an epidemic disease, an antiseptic vaccine protects a person from the attack of such an epidemic. We are waiting for that vaccine for the coronavirus. Similarly, food offered to Lord Vishnu and then taken by us makes us sufficiently resistant to material affection, and one who is accustomed to this practice is called a devotee to the Lord. Therefore, a person in Krishna consciousness who eats only food offered to Krishna can counteract all the reactions of past material infections, which are impediments to the progress of self-realization. In other words, you get rid of all that stupid old karma. pretty good. And you get freed. It's like you have all these chains that are chaining you down, or like in prison, and then all of a sudden you get the key and you unlock the chains and you are free in them, but just by eating prasadam. On the other hand, one who does not do so continues to increase the volume of sinful action, and this prepares the next body to resemble hogs and dogs, to suffer the resultant reactions of all sins. Not a good life. The material world is full of contaminations, and one who is immunized by accepting prasadam of the Lord, food offered to Vishnu, is saved from the attack, whereas one who does not do so becomes subjected to contamination. And even if one takes prasadam, we mentioned before, without knowing it's prasadam, it still works. It still works. Prabhupada said, told me when we were feeding some ducks leftover prasadam when I was taking care of some kids, Prabhupada said that these ducks would take human births in the next life. So you can actually give mercy out to the animals just by giving them prasadam or having them chant the holy name, because they won't chant, having them hear the holy names. Food grains or vegetables are factually eatables. The human being eats different kinds of food grains, vegetables, fruits, etc. And the animals eat the refuse of the food grains and vegetables, grass, plants, etc. Human beings who are accustomed to eating meat and flesh must also depend on the production of vegetation. I mentioned this before, in order to eat the animals. Therefore, ultimately, we have to depend on the production of the field and not on the production of big factories. As Prabhupada would often say, you cannot eat nuts and bolts. The field production is due to sufficient rain from the sky, and such rains are controlled by the demigods like Indra, sun, moon, etc., and they are all servants of the Lord. The Lord can be satisfied by sacrifices, and therefore one who cannot perform them will find himself in scarcity. That is the law of nature. Yajna, specifically the Sankirtan Yajna, again, chanting, prescribed for the sage, must therefore be performed to save us at least from the scarcity of food supply. So what's happening in the modern day is there are all these artificial ways of growing food. Artificial fertilizer and what else? Artificial, and the plants are genetically modified, GMO, to make money for these big companies, and I'm not going to mention any of the big companies, but they're modified. And one thing is the plants and the vegetables, because of all this artificial stuff going on, especially artificial fertilizer and not having our heirloom plants. Heirloom means the original plants. The plants don't have the same nutrition that they used to have. And I remember when I was young, it's not just because I'm old, but when I was young, many of the fruits and everything would have a far more relishable taste than they do now. I mean, everything from tomatoes or tomatoes, depending what part of the world you're in, and to the different fruits, and peaches, pears, plums, nectarines. That's nice, a nectarine. Actually, I haven't had a plum or a nectarine in a long time. So all these different fruits, and whether it's speak of grapes and everything, they just don't have the same nutrition. So there's basically, in one sense, there's a scarcity of food supply, even though there's so much food nowadays, because it doesn't have the same nutrition. And people are having so many nutritional deficiencies, and of course that means they have to take all these different pills to make up for the nutritional deficiencies in their diet. And at the same time, they're getting so much poison. For example, if you're taking any form of wheat or wheat product, there is this one thing called Roundup, which is actually a weed killer, that they use on the wheat plant right before they harvest it, and at other times too. And it goes into the wheat. And it can cause cancer and so many other problems like that. So you may say, well, with scientific advancement, the green revolution, we are doing so much to increase the food supply. Well, what you're doing is you're giving people food that is not nutritious and causing so many problems for people. And I could tell you that as a fact based upon my own life history and eating different things. Of course, my whole life I've been eating, that the food is just not as nutritious as it used to be. It's different. I mean, the eating is a completely different experience, except for eating prasadam, of course. Anyway, so as things get more mechanized, artificial, and they start growing the food in the laboratories or whatever, then people will suffer more. What can you do? So, I think we'll read one more text. Text 15. Karma brahmod bhavan viti brahma kshara samud bhavan tasmat sarvagatam brahma niya nityam yakde pratishtitam. Karma, work, brahma from the Vedas, ud bhavan produce, viti. You should know Brahma the Vedas, Akshara from the Supreme Brahman, Personality of Godhead, Samudban, directly manifested, Tasmat, therefore, Sarvagatam, all-pervading, Brahma, transcendence, Nityam, eternally, Yajna, and sacrifice, Pratishtitam, situated. Regulated activities are prescribed in the Vedas, and the Vedas are directly manifested from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, the all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice. So sacrifice basically means, for us, chanting the Lord's holy names, that Krishna's present there, the all-pervading transcendence. Of course, that's one aspect of Krishna, but we are more interested in Krishna as a person rather than as the all-pervading aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So anyway, so Krishna's present. Yagdartha karma, or the necessity of work for the satisfaction of Krishna, only is more expressly stated in this verse. If we have to work for the satisfaction of the Yajna Purusha of Vishnu, that's Krishna, then we must find out the direction of work in Brahman, or the transcendental Vedas. In other words, if we want to find out what it means to work for Krishna, we got to find out what Krishna wants. That's a no-brainer. If you want to find out what it means to work for any company, you got to find out what the boss wants. You haven't figured that out, you're in trouble. The Vedas are therefore codes of working directions. Anything performed without the direction of the Vedas is called vikarma, or unauthorized or sinful work. That means work that gives you a reaction that you will not be happy with. Therefore, one should always take direction from the Vedas to be saved from the reaction of work. Of course, as I mentioned before, the Vedas are multifarious. There's many different injunctions in the Vedas. How do we know which ones to follow, which ones not to follow? Oh my God, you go crazy. So therefore, we've given directions by the spiritual master, which ones are important and which ones don't apply, obviously. As one has to work in ordinary life by the direction of the state, one similarly has to work under the direction of the supreme state of the Lord. Such directions in the Vedas are directly manifested from the breathing of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is said, Ashamato Bhutasya Nishvasitam Etad Yad Rigveda Yajurveda Samaveda Atharvangirasa. The four Vedas, namely the Rigveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, Atharvaveda, are all emanations from the breathing of the Great Personality of Godhead. And that's from the Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad, or 5.11. That means the great forest Upanishad. The Lord, being omnipotent, can speak by breathing air. For, as is confirmed, the Brahma Samhita, the Lord has the omnipotence to perform through each of his senses the actions of all other senses. We can't do that. We can only see with our eyes. We can't see with our ears. We can't see with our fingers. And we can't taste with our fingers. So our senses are actually designated. Or limited. The Lord can speak through his breathing. He can impregnate by his eyes. In fact, it is said that he glanced over the material nature and thus fathered all living entities. That means at the time of creation, Krishna just looked at this blob of material nature before it became variegated. And all the living entities, that's including us, were put in there. Zap! And he's our father. After creating or impregnating the conditioned souls in the womb of material nature, he gave his directions in the Vedic wisdom as to how such conditioned souls, us, can return home back to Godhead. We should always remember that the conditioned souls in material nature, us, are always eager for material enjoyment. But the Vedic directions are so made that one can satisfy one's perverted desires, then return to Godhead, having finished his so-called enjoyment. So in other words, don't worry if you have all these little desires. You can be satisfied. It is a chance for the conditioned souls, us, to attain Liberation means get the heck out of here. Go back to the spiritual world where there's no birth, no death, no old age, thank God, and no disease. Therefore, the conditioned souls must try to follow the process of yajna, there's the sankirtan again, by becoming Krishna conscious. Even those who have not followed the Vedic injunctions may adopt the principles of Krishna consciousness, and that will take the place of performance of all these Vedic yajnas or karmas. That's all you got to do, just take up Krishna consciousness, chant the Lord's holy names, and be happy. So we will end, and tomorrow we will continue with verse 16 in this chapter. So now we're going to take some questions from all of you. Well, we got quite a few people tonight. Let me take you off of my ute so you can ask some questions. Give me 1 second. Unmute or unforcibly mute everybody. And now you can ask questions. Who wants to ask a question? Who's brave? Any very brave people there? Oh, Veda, you want to ask a question? Great.
Yeah, it's kind of a mundane question, but I've been wondering it a bit. So when you have, like, animals, like, you know, dogs and cats, you have to feed them meat, right? So is that...
That's their natural food.
Okay, yeah.
For them, they're not accruing any karma for eating meat, because that's what they're meant to eat. They're meant to eat meat. We are not. I mean, even physiologically, you can see that a dog or a cat... I mean, I always tell the story about how I used to have a cat and dogs, but anyway, a cat. And the cat would practically every other day bring me an offering of a dead bird. The cat loved me very much. And the cat thought, the best thing in the world is a dead bird. So let me bring it to that sannyasi. No, anyway, let me bring it to the person who I love the most. So every day I would get an offering of a dead bird. And the cat had, in our house, the cat had her own door. I mean, this is America. So they have special doors for the cats and dogs to go in. And the cats and dogs have little keys so they can use on the door. So they keep a... Sorry, I have to be humorous. They keep the key on their collar. Not really. So anyway, you know, it's like a little folding door. So the cat would come in and leave a nice bird for me every day. So that's allowed for the cat. I did not eat the bird. I was actually thinking, poor bird, but, you know, that's life. You know, there's a specific type of food for each and every living entity. And the tiger's food is us. So if the tiger eats a human being, it's not sinful. But if we eat a human being, it's pretty bad. One of the places that I visit and preach to it is known as the Cannibal Islands. The Cannibal Islands, that's Fiji. And so when the first ministers went there, not the Hare Krishnas, they would eat the minister and also try to eat his boots also, since they had never seen boots before. They would cook the boots and make soup from the boots. So that's cannibalism. And fortunately, they don't eat people anymore. So, but that, anyway, human beings are not meant to eat human beings. Tigers, yeah, they can eat meat. That's what they're supposed to eat. Their big intestines are very short. Our big intestines, or intestinal system, is very, very long. So when we eat meat, the meat tends to rot, and then we get so many problems, like cancer of the bowels and other problems like that. So that's a big problem. So then our teeth are not meant to eat meat. Otherwise, we'd have teeth like tigers. We have very blunt teeth like that. So don't worry about the cat and the dog. That's fine. They can also eat prasadam.
Yeah. But even us... the animals, like directly giving them meat, like we don't have any.
What's that? Well, usually, I mean, originally they used to catch the meat by themselves. So, I guess sometimes it may be all right because otherwise they'll get sick and die. But, you just, but give them prasadam too. Give them some prasadam. And that way they're assured human bodies in the next life. That's the main thing. In which case, you are not on mute, and we get a chance to hear you, unfortunately, shifting your microphone around. So,
Thank you, Gurudev.
okay, thank you. So, who else has a question?
Hare Krishna
I
Maharaj,
have a
please
quick
accept
one.
my humble obeisances.
Looks cold by the way. Looks cold in New Zealand.
Yes, it is cold. Maharaj, so we cannot avoid our obligation to perform the sacrifices born of our prescribed duty, no matter
Right.
what. So can you please explain a bit more?
That means that we have a certain nature. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, we're talking about Varna right now. And we serve Krishna, for us, we serve Krishna with that nature. And of course, we follow the ordinary society rules and regulations too. But that doesn't mean we worship demigods or anything like that. It just means that we serve Krishna according to our natural propensities. Whether you're a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and of course you also follow your dharma in terms of your ashram too. So those things are important to keep the mind steady so one can continue chanting Hare Krishna without going crazy. All right?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Maharaj.
Very cold there and it's very hot here. I
Yeah.
wish I had spent the whole day in the swimming pool. I was in the swimming pool today, but I wish I'd spent the whole day there.
Yes.
Yeah. But the owners of the swimming pool won't let me go except for a few minutes a day. They're watching.
It's nice.
They're in to have a swimming pool. So, we have another question, Rishikesh. Oh, Radha Padma. Oh, go on. Let Radha Padma ask a question.
Hare
Oh, Radha.
Krishna Gurudev, please accept my obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Guru Maharaj,
Yeah.
in our families is this common habit of extended families and friends. They're vegetarians, but they still eat onion and garlic. They want to offer food. They do like offer milk and all. Is it possible that they offer food that is cooked with onion and garlic, and then slowly, gradually, that habit of putting
Yeah, I
onion.
mean, yeah, I understand your question. Just encourage them like that. At least they're accepting the principle of offering. And even though, Krishna doesn't eat food with garlic or onions for a variety of reasons, then encourage them just to offer your food. Offer your food and accept that you're offering to Krishna, and eventually the desire to eat garlic and onions will go away. I mean, I have funny stories about garlic. Once upon a time, there was a lady, actually she's here in North Carolina, who had to take garlic one time because for her health. Garlic is actually a medicine and it's good for certain things like it's antiviral and it's antibiotic, etc. like that. So she had to take a whole bunch of garlic. And her service was going out to distribute books with people. And she had like a van with about six or seven other people. And so she got in that van, and everyone else started to almost vomit. And as they were driving out to where they were going to go to distribute books, they all had to stick their heads out of the van so they're going down the road with their heads stuck out of the van. Anyway. So, I highly recommend garlic for people who don't want to get married because it's pretty good. It's pretty good. If someone wants to stay single, I mean, you just, if you eat like a raw garlic clove a day, I think that you'll probably avoid any sort of interaction with other people. Or if you want to get rid of stuff, let's say if you want to get rid of your husband, that's no really kind. Then you just eat garlic, and he'll be gone before you know it. Anyway, enough humor. So yeah, I would just encourage people. At least they're offering to Krishna vegetarian food. I remember one time Prabhupada went to someone's house, and they fed him something with garlic and onions. And one of the devotees said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, there's garlic and onions in here." And Prabhupada said, "Just shut up and eat the food." So you don't have to. There can be adjustments to encourage people to take up Krishna consciousness. We don't want to be too fanatic about it. I mean, obviously, I don't take garlic or onions, and there's other reasons too, such as when you take garlic, it actually reduces your reflex action. So if you're going to fly a plane or drive a car or drive a truck, I don't recommend you eating garlic right before you do those things. It'll put your conscious brings your consciousness down. Anyway, whatever. I wouldn't worry about it. At least they're offering vegetarian food. I mean, that's a big step. Big step. So step by step. You can't just like force people to do everything at once.
Thank
So,
you.
and I guess that's it. Oh yeah, just Rishikesh had a question, and we'll take him, and then we'll end. Rishikesh.
Yes, Gurudev. My question, Gurudev, was about the
Oh, you're driving a car.
meat.
Oh,
I'm
I'm
sorry. Yeah, I was in Eminent Park right now. I just wanted to. I'm
okay.
about to start my walking. Gurudev, my question was about the meat. Is this meat eating also was prevalent during Krishna's time? Like I heard, even Pandavas and Kauravas were also eating meat. Is that correct?
Well, no, the Pandavas were vegetarians. Bhimsen was ate meat, but it
Okay.
was a different age, and these were Kshatriyas who got their meat not from a supermarket, not from a butchery, but they would be hunting. And even so, they had to suffer a reaction for it. It's described that Kshatriyas had to go to hell after this life if they ate meat or killed animals in this life. So it's still, there's still some reaction, although there's some leniency for those who were Kshatriyas. And that was a previous age, not recommended for this age. Yes, it is a fact. Bhimsen ate meat. The rest of the Pandavas were vegetarians, probably said. But
Thank you.
many Kshatriyas ate meat. And either the animal was killed, lower animals were killed by hunting. I'm not happy about that, but it's life. Or there was a sacrifice. And the animal was given a new body by the Vedic sacrifice. Okay?
Thank you, Guru.
All right, thank you. Okay. Nice to see everybody. It is time to go. We are so sorry to go, but we have to go on with life. And thank you all for joining us. Tomorrow, same time, same station, Bhagavad Gita class. No morning class tomorrow, but we are going to have the Mangalarti, which is 4:30 in the morning, is on Facebook alone, not Zoom, and also my taking care of the deities is at 5:05 in the morning on Facebook, and then also greeting the deities and the bhajan on Facebook. Time to wake up. Okay, all glory to the
Hare
aspiration, Prabhupada, to the Prabhupada.
Krishna.